Well, you got three that are feeling great. I hope before we're through this morning, the rest of you have the same feeling that it's great to be in God's house. Folks, it is good. Whew. We serve a God that can do all things. He did miracles. You read all through your Bible about the miracles God did. Some great, some small. I stand before you today as one of the great miracles. And you're looking at me like, oh boy, he's full of himself. No. When I was 5 weeks old, the doctors told my mother that child's going to die. That was 64 years ago. Doctors don't know a lot, but God does. I serve a God that was able to take a child that the world said was going to die in the next few days. And I stand before you today to tell you that my God is able to change lives and to heal hearts and to do things that man says is impossible. Whew. Well, now I know this is homecoming, and I'm so honored to be here. I truly am honored to be here. I got to see God do a lot of miracles in this place the years we were here. Whew. But you don't want to hear all about that. You'd rather hear about Jesus, wouldn't you? Well, we got one that wants to hear about Jesus. How about the rest of you? Do you want to hear about Jesus this morning? Do you want to know what God is capable of? Folks, we live in a time, look around. We live in a time of uncertainty. We live in a time that you go to the store and you don't know who's who because they're all wearing a mask. Oh, geez. Every time I put this thing on, it gets hung in my glasses. When I grew up, if you saw somebody wearing a mask, they're fixing to rob a bank. They weren't out to buy groceries. You and I live in a time of uncertainty. But folks, this is not the first time of uncertainty in the world. If you have your scripture this morning, we're going to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. You see, there's been many times in the scripture that we can see where things were just absolutely haywire. And when Peter wrote this book in 1 Peter, I said chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 7 in your hearing this morning. But I'd like to give you a little background on what was going on in the world in that day. A new man had just come to the throne in Rome. His name was Nero. And he hated the Christians more than the Jews hated the Christians at that point. He sought to destroy the church of Jesus Christ. I've got news for you today, folks. The devil is seeking to destroy the church of Jesus Christ today. And one of his weapons is this virus. He is making men's hearts fail for fear because of a little sickness, Jason. Do you fear sickness? Jason doesn't, because Jason's a nurse. He knows a lot about sickness, so he doesn't have to fear. But what's even greater than him having the knowledge of medicine and nursing is the fact that he knows Jesus Christ. Am I right, Jason? Yes. See, I know Jason because Jason and I used to teach Sunday school together. Long time ago, wasn't it, Jason? A few years. You didn't even have that over there at the end. What do you mean a few years? Oh, and by the way, girls, when you do your first CD, you put me down to get the first one, okay? Boy, I enjoyed that, didn't you? Let's go to the book. Clap, it's okay. For the girls and for God. Let's go to the book of 1 Peter and see what Peter might have to say to us. 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bethany. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience, sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to be an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, I pray and I ask you this morning, Lord, to help me. Father, you know I can do nothing. I can say nothing on my own. But I ask for the power of the Holy Spirit of the living God to be in this place and on this time, Lord. You promised us in your word that anywhere two or more are gathered in your name, there you'll be in their midst. And Father, we're desiring the presence of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit to be in this time and on this place, Lord, in such a way that we will know when we walk out these doors that we've been in the presence of the living God, that you might make a difference in hearts and lives in this time and in this place. Lord, we live in such a time of discouragement this day. We're just looking this day to have your word to encourage our hearts and to lift us up and to draw those to yourself. Father, I pray that you would draw any loss that might be in this place to yourself this day. Father, that's our purpose this day, is to hold you high and lift it up, that you may draw all men unto yourself. We can do no drawing, Lord, but we can do some sharing. And Father, I pray that you'd just anoint my weak mind and my stammering tongue this day, that you might receive glory and honor through all that's said and all that's done. And all God's children said, amen. You know, as I was thinking about homecoming, you and I have a misconception of what we call home. You and I, when I get off from work in the afternoons, I work full time. I drive a truck. I go to a different state every day. And man, I can't wait to get back to that office and park that old Peterbilt and get in my truck and head home. Because I know when I get to the house, I've got somebody there that loves me. And his name is Pal. He's about that tall. But I also know that there's some love from the one that I love there. And folks, that's what home is about. It's about love. Home is about the fact that somebody loves you and you love them. It's a loving relationship. That's why heaven is going to be so sweet. It's because you and I love him. If you're saved, you love him. We love him and he loves us. What a loving relationship we're going to have when we get to the Father's house. But for now, we're stuck in this world. You see, I'm just passing through. This world is not my home. Y'all ever sing that song, Randy? This world is not my home. I'm just passing through here. This is a temporary place for me to live. And some days I can't wait to leave this world and go home. The older I get, as Roy mentioned a while ago, sometimes the older we get, the more we look forward to what God has in store for us. But for now, we are here in this place and in this time. And what I was reading in these scriptures, and the Lord gave me this thought, that you and I have some things we need to remember as we go through these troubling times in this world. And I saw a whole list of things that we need to remember. Now, I told you that the Christians were being persecuted. They've had to run for their lives in this scripture. That's why Peter is writing a letter and addressing it to different areas, because the Christians have had to run for their lives. In the world in which you and I live, the persecution of the church is just now starting. Believe me, it is just now starting. I've been preaching this for about 4 years now. I saw this coming years ago, and I told my wife, the persecution of the church is just now starting. Within just a few more years, if your pastor gets up here and preaches the gospel according to the gospel, he will be charged with a hate crime. If he calls sin, sin. So we're living in a time where persecution is about to take place in the church like we have never known it in our lifetime. So the first thing I saw here in this scripture, in that second verse, it says that by the blood of Jesus Christ. Folks, do you realize that you and I are redeemed with a great price? If you look over in verse 18, it says, "For much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot." Folks, that's what you and I have been redeemed with. We were bought back from the devil by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have been redeemed. Now, there's a couple of you that are excited about that. Believe me, if you knew all of my past history, you would say, "I can hardly believe that that blood was enough to purchase him back." Because, folks, I'm here to tell you, I was happy with the devil. And the devil was happy with me. We were just having a good time, going on, worrying about absolutely nothing. I was one of hell's children. But God. But God chose to redeem my soul from the devil's hell, the place which I was headed to, by the precious blood of Christ. Whew. Man, God got a hold of me. And when he did, he redeemed my soul. Oh, now, you know, over in Luke chapter 14, the Bible says, "For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down and first counteth the cost?" Jesus was talking about considering what things cost. Do you not realize that before you were ever saved, before this world was ever created, God the Father sat down and he considered the cost of your soul, and he said, "Brother Roy is worthy of the blood of my son." And he said, "Brother Gunn is worthy. And even old Booger is worthy. Whoa! Brother Randy is worthy of the blood of my son." He counted the cost, and he counted you worthy of the blood of Jesus Christ. Whew. I don't know about you, but that excites me that he would consider this person worthy of the blood of his son. It excites me. You may not get very excited, but I'm an excitable kind of guy, ain't I, Gun? Gun's known me a long time. I can get excited about some things. I can get excited about glory. I can get excited about hallelujah. I can get excited about Jesus. I can get excited about God the Father. About them Dallas Cowboys. You couldn't pay me to watch one of them silly ball games. And I said the Dallas Cowboys, because that's the only team I can remember the name of. The rest of them, some of them's changing and stuff nowadays. But I can get excited about God, because He's redeemed my soul with the precious blood of Christ. Whew. All I know to do is say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done for this old man. Oh, but now, if we're in these turbulent times, we need to remember the price that was paid for our soul. And folks, when you can remember the price that was paid for your soul, the last of that verse says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. When you remember the price of your soul, you should realize the grace and the mercy and the peace of God that has been multiplied to you many times over through your life since the day that you said, I'll take Jesus as mine. I'm going to stand up for Jesus. I'm going to stand and praise His holy name. Folks, I've been praising my Lord for a long time. And it's not got old yet. Do you realize that the praise and glory that we give God here is just practice for the next world? Whew. I don't like a whole lot of noise. But I'm trying to get used to it. Because I know when I go to the next world, it's going to be a whole lot louder than this, Roy. We ain't going to need no hearing aids there. We're going to need some earmuffs there. Because there's going to be a whole lot of people like me that's just happy to be there because the Lord redeemed my soul. But now, not only do we need to remember that He has redeemed us, but look at that second verse. It says, according to His abundant mercy hath He begotten us again. Again. You were born one time into this world. But you have to be reborn to get into the next world on the right side. Now, you don't have to be reborn to live forever. You need to realize that. You can be sitting here in this sanctuary this morning as lost as a goose, and you're still going to be around forever. But you're not going to be very happy about it. You're going to be very upset where you're headed. If you're not redeemed by the blood and born again. You see, there was a religious man. I'm very religious. Hey, your religion will take you to a devil's hell. There was a religious man that came to Jesus in the book of John chapter 3. His name was Nicodemus. He was a Pharisee. And he was a mighty ruler of the Jews. He was a very religious man, but he had no clue of who Jesus was. And Jesus said, you must be born again. He didn't say, I hope you can be born again. He said, you must be born again. Without that rebirth, without that second birth, you can never enter into the kingdom of heaven. You see, sometimes we get to thinking about being reborn, and it doesn't really help our mind. Our mind doesn't really grasp what that entails. Because to be reborn, you have to become a new creature in Christ. You cannot be the same old person. If you're here this morning saying, well, I got saved, but it didn't change me, I got news for you. You need to get the real thing. Because you've got a Pepsi. You ain't got a Coke. You've been misled by the commercials on your television station. If you don't have a change in your life, if God has not made you into a new creature, you have not been reborn. You must be born again. Without that new birth, without being a new creature in Christ, you will never have full fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I used this example a few weeks ago that the Lord laid on my heart in the middle of a sermon one day. I'd never thought about it. Let me ask you a question. If you were in a grocery store and the Lord Jesus Christ came up and was walking with you, arm in arm, Jesus, I'm going to get us some sloppy joes. Hey, he'd be good with that, wouldn't he? Y'all think Jesus would like sloppy joes? I think he would. That's one of my favorites. I'm a simple man. Don't you laugh at me, whoever was laughing. We're going to get us some sloppy joes. And we're going to go on down the aisle. We're going to get us some hamburger buns. And yes, Lord, we're going to get Duke's mayonnaise because I don't want to have to ask forgiveness. We're going to go on down through the grocery store. Do you think if I was walking arm in arm with Jesus, he would be happy if I went over to the beer counter and got me a six-pack? Do you think? Well, a few of you don't. Hey, let me tell you something. The rest of you that think it'd be all right to take Jesus over to the beer counter and get you a six-pack while he's on your arm, those that do that and claim to be Christian, you embarrass the Lord Jesus Christ when you open that door. If there's a door on the beer counter, I don't even know. Thank you, Lord, I don't know no more. You would be an embarrassment to him because you've been reborn. You've been made into a new creature in Christ. And if you're still desiring the old things of this world, you need to come to this altar at the end of this service and you need to ask God to help you to get rid of the old desires of this world. Because, folks, it's very clear in the book of 1 John, the things of this world are passing away, and we need not to love the things of this world, but we need to put those things away. We need to seek the new things. Bible says, Paul wrote for us to seek things above, in heavenly places. That's what you and I need to desire, not the things of this world. If you need alcohol to get you through, if you need alcohol to calm the spirit within you, you're as lost as a goose, probably. Because you're saying that your Jesus isn't enough to give you peace. Bible is very clear in that second verse there that grace and peace can be multiplied unto you if you're redeemed by the blood of Christ. Now, I don't even know where that came from. That just, Lord just decided to throw that in, and there's no extra charge for that. But not only do we have to remember that we're redeemed and that we need to be reborn to enter into the kingdom of heaven, but folks, I got good news for you this morning. This is homecoming. We were able to get here this morning. Look in your scripture. You have been reborn. Look at verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Hey, you're a reserved people for a reserved place. Marsha and I are supposed to go camping next month. We like to camp. We're big time. You know, we're into that big vacation stuff. We go to the campground. And me and Jesus, we'll cook us a hot dog on the fire. And we'll enjoy the far out of it. But we've got a reservation over there. That means that we have already planned, we have already called ahead, we have already made the preparations for where we're going. And they have reserved that spot for yours truly. That is my spot. It's not my spot today because I ain't there. But it's my spot next month when I plan to go. You see, it is reserved in advance for me. The Bible says you've got a place reserved in heaven for you. Now, heaven is our final home. You and I are just passing through this place. But if you're redeemed and you've been reborn You've got a place reserved for you, and you are reserved for the place. Oh, what did Jesus say in the book of John chapter 14? He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself." You see, it's a prepared place for a prepared people. You and I have already been reserved for the place, and the place is reserved for us. Isn't it good to know that this is not our final home? Folks, we've been teaching through the book of Revelation. If you want to see some scary stuff, you go look at what's going to happen in this world. It is horrifying. It's worse than any horror movie that Hollywood could ever dream up. The things that are going to happen in this world, and those things are going to happen to the lost people that are left here. But praise and glory to my God, I'm not going to be here, because I already know, Jerry. I already know where I'm going. I've got my reservation. How about you? Do you know that you know? Let me help you with something right here for just a moment. If you're sitting in your place and you're saying, "I think I'm saved," in your mind and in your heart, or if you're saying in your mind and your heart, "I hope I'm saved," then my friend, you are not saved. Because when God does a work, you'll know it. When God moves in, you'll know it. There'll be no mistake. There'll be no wondering. There'll be no doubting. There'll be no confusion, because confusion is of the devil. It is not of God. When the Lord Jesus Christ moves into your heart, you'll know it. Matter of fact, John said in 1 John, he said, "These things have I written that you may know that you have eternal life." You don't have to wonder. You don't have to hope. You don't have to think. You should know for a fact. When he does a work, he doesn't do it halfway. He does it all the way. So not only do we need to remember that we've been redeemed and reborn and we've got a place reserved in heaven for us, but folks, you and I live in a time of turmoil like we've never seen in my lifetime. Like I say, I've lived here 64 years so far. Thank you, Lord. But I'm ready to go tomorrow, aren't you? Hey, if we was getting up a bus to go this afternoon, would you run to the bus? You'd have to knock me out of the way, because I'd be running for the bus. Because I've already read and I know what's going to happen in this place. And I know what's over there. We'll get to that in a minute. Boy, I've got some good news for you folks this morning. I mean, I've got some great news for you, but I'm not going to share it right yet. But I will in a minute, okay? Will you wait for the great news? Well, at least Roy will. The rest of you are going to have to wait, because Roy said yes. Isn't it good that God gives us a sense of humor, Gun? Folks, you and I, even in this time of turmoil, should be doing something that makes the world look at us and say, "What is wrong with them?" Look in your scripture in verse 6. wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, in heaviness through manifold temptation. Mm-mm. If you look on down in verse 8, it'll tell you that we should be rejoicing with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Folks, even in times of trial, even in times of uncertainty, you and I have some certainty that we should be rejoicing over. We should be counting, oh man, hey, we should be running up and down the street saying, my God is able. My God has done something for me. My God is able and willing to do something for you also. We should have a smile on our face. If the house was burning down behind us and it was our house, we ought to have a smile on our face. You say, this man has lost his mind. Why would I be rejoicing if my house was burning down? Because that house is just a temporary place. That house is not my home. That's where me and my sweetheart have lived for 37 years. See, I have to ask. We've lived there a long time, but that place is still not my home. It's the house I'm dwelling in while I'm here. And I'm only here, as the Bible says in the book of James, for a short time. Life is as a vapor. Whew. Boy, I'm not going to be here long, Roy. I may beat you. If I do, I'll save you a spot at the table, brother. I'm excited about going home, are you? You know, we're here today for homecoming. I'm so glad that this is not my home. Now, I said when I first got up here, I've seen God do a lot of miracles in this place while we were here. We've seen souls saved, lives changed. People living today that the doctor said wouldn't live. Whew. See, God do some things. But he's not done yet. You and I should be rejoicing because he's not done yet. If he was about done with this place, you and I wouldn't be here this morning. Or at least me and Roy wouldn't. How about you? Are you ready to take a heavenly flight if he came by today? I know I am, and I hope you are too. But now, not only should we remember to be rejoicing, because it's only for a season. Folks, look at verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Whew. Hey, at the appearing of Jesus Christ, when my Lord Jesus Christ appears in the sky, guess where I'm going to be? I'm going to be going up to be with him. I'm going to be headed home at that moment. And if you and I are alive when he appears in the sky, we will all be going up if we're redeemed by the blood of Christ. If you're sitting here this morning and you are not redeemed by the blood of Christ, if he came right now, you might find yourself sitting alone, because those of us that are redeemed will be gone in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That's where I grew up. We'd say, that's pretty doggone quick. Are you ready? This morning is the question to go. Now, I told you I had some really good news for you. How much do you know about your heavenly home? Exactly how much do you know about your heavenly home? How do you spell heaven? That's the first question. Let's make sure we understand where we're getting at here. How do you spell heaven? I've got a different way of spelling heaven. I spell it H-O-M-E. That's how I spell heaven. H-O-M-E. Now, if you were fixing to move into a new area down here, and you were going to move into a nice development, wouldn't you go by and get you a brochure on that development? And you'd want to look at all the amenities they have, Brother Gunn. You'd want to know just what they have for the children, for your wife, for your mother-in-law, maybe. But you'd want to know what's in this brochure, would you not? Well, I brought something with me today. I brought a brochure of heaven that can give you the details that you need to know. And I'm going to pass those out in just a moment. Let me ask you a question. How many of you would like to have a brochure of the things of heaven? Well, we got one over here raising his hand. Let's try this again. How many of you would like to have a brochure of heaven? Well, we've got a few that want to know more about heaven. If you want a brochure of the city of heaven, you take your Bible and you flip to the back, the next to the last chapter, Revelation chapter 21. It will tell you the things that are there, and by omission, it will tell you the things that aren't there. You study Revelation chapter 21, and you'll know what your new home is going to be like. You'll understand some more things before you get there. You see, if you're preparing to move, you want to know the area in which you're moving into, don't you? How many of you have studied what heaven is going to be like? Folks, it's not going to be like this world. No, that ain't it. We're not going to need a mask there. There's going to be no sickness there. There's going to be no death. There's going to be no pain. There's going to be no sea. You can't go to the beach. Ha, ha, ha. Because the sea in this world means separation of land, separation of you see, you and I are headed to a place where it's all going to be full fellowship at all times. With God the Father and with His children. That's me and you. But now we started this thing by saying, redemption. You need to be redeemed by the blood of Christ. That is your ticket to the great homecoming that is coming. And I believe it's coming soon. Because if you study the Scripture, you'll know that the Bible is fulfilling itself at an amazing rate in today's world. So the question this morning is, are you ready? Are you prepared for the prepared place? Are you redeemed and born again and living like God would have you to live in this day in which